Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. I want to read one verse of Scripture. If you'll stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to read verse number 7. Verse number 7. This is where the message will come from this morning. The Bible said that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I would like for you to be seated and pray with us, please. Pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for this very, very important chapter in the Word of God. And I pray now, Lord, you would help me this morning, Lord, to just be able to convey to my precious people what you've put in my heart. Lord, I'm just humbled by your presence. Lord, you don't owe us anything. And yet, Lord, you've chosen to come by our way today. Lord, make your presence so real in the service that folk would know, Lord, that you've come and met with us. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We started last Sunday morning preaching in a series of messages entitled Faith, the Evidence of Things Not Seen. On last Sunday, we looked at the first part of the chapter, the first few verses here, and we said that this evidence of things not seen was observed in the saints. It's obtained through the Scripture, and then it was revealed through the sacrifice. And then on Wednesday night, I entirely planned on preaching what I'm preaching this morning, but I just ran out of time. On Wednesday night, we looked at the evidence of things not seen, and we looked at a message entitled, By Faith, He Pleased God. That was Enoch in verse number 5 and verse number 6. This morning, the title of the message would be Faith, the Evidence of Things Not Seen. Prepare. By faith, we prepare to meet God. We prepare to meet God. I want you to think with me for just a moment. The Bible said, by faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I believe with all of my heart that one of the reasons that what happened in Western North Carolina and East Tennessee and some places in Virginia, Southwest Virginia, was so catastrophic, it was something that they had never seen. I promise you that if they had ever seen anything like that, there would have been more preparation. Amen. Because it was something that was just unheard of. And I want to remind you that in Noah's day, this was unheard of because it had never even rained yet. God watered the earth with a mist that came up. And so here's a man preaching that it's going to rain. It's going to rain so hard that the entire earth is going to be covered with water. It's going to be judgment on the human race because they had so turned their back on God. And so by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I didn't originally plan on this, and I believe this is one reason why God has put this little hiccup in the series to put this message on Sunday morning. God knows what he's doing. I learned that a long time ago. But as I went back, Brother Chris, and began to review, the Lord, he keyed in on something. Things not seen as yet. Things not seen as yet. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of the Revelation. I want you to look with me at Revelation chapter number 6. And I want to talk to you just a moment about things that are coming, but they've not been seen as yet. In Revelation chapter number 6 and verse 3 and verse number 4, The Bible said that peace is going to be taken from the earth and they shall kill one another. In verse number 5 and 6, there's a famine where the Bible said there'll be a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. In verse number 8, these are things that have not been seen as yet, but it's coming. God has said that in the future, that the first time the earth was destroyed by a flood, if you study your Bible, the next time the earth will be destroyed by a fire. It's not going to be destroyed by a flood. And the fire is going to be so hot that the Bible said the elements will melt with fervent heat. I've been seeing just a little bit this week the fires in California. And when they see you see a home burned up, the chimney's still standing because the chimney's made out of masonry. But Brother Shannon, according to what the Bible said, it's going to get so hot it'll melt brick and it's going to melt rock. That's how hot that it's going to get. And this is things not seen as yet. And the Bible said in verse number 12, there's going to be a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. The stars fell from heaven in verse number 13. Heaven departed as a scroll in verse number 14. And the kings of the earth, verse 15, and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks. They're talking now to God's creation. They're talking to the mountains. They're talking to the rocks. And they're saying, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? In other words, if you read that in its context, it wouldn't matter if you're a king. It wouldn't matter if you're rich or if you're a pauper. It wouldn't matter if you're well-known or unknown. That day's going to come. That's things not seen as yet. Don't you understand that in Noah's day when he started preaching that there's a flood coming, that probably people looked at him like a calf looking at a new gate, like, what in the world are you talking about? I've often wondered when the rain started pitter-patting on top of the little huts and where they lived. I've often wondered if there wasn't a teenager or a young'un that went out there and saw that rain coming down and run back in and said, Daddy, I thought you said that old man was crazy. Daddy, it's raining. And then the Bible talks about the fountains of the deep were opened up. Now the water's racing. Daddy, you said that old man was crazy. Daddy, you said that man didn't have a lick of sense. You said, Daddy, you said we didn't have to listen to him. You see, things not seen as yet. But Noah listened to God. And Noah received that warning from God. And Noah did something about it. And I'm telling you about some things not seen as yet. I'm just scratching the surface. In chapter number 8, in verse number 7, the Bible said the first angel sounded and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And there were cast upon the earth the third part of the trees was burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood. Have y'all ever seen an oil spill? Have you ever seen that on the news? That's a mess. Say amen. Whether it's in the Gulf of Mexico or wherever it is, that's a mess. Can you imagine one third of the sea turning into blood? Listen, whales can't live swimming in blood. Fish can't live swimming in blood. The crabs and the lobsters, they can't live. And so now there's not only, beloved, the blood, but there's death, there's stench, there's pestilence everywhere. And the third part of the creatures, look in verse 9, which were in the sea and had life, died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the Bible said, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. This has been one of my fears. Listen, when you talk about terrorism, that somebody would try to do something to our water supply. You understand what I mean? Something that maybe you can't detect. It's too late when you understand, amen, that you've drank something that's going to cost you your life. I'm telling you, we need to be on top of it in America. But the Bible said, beloved, there's nobody going to be able to change this because it's God doing it. This is the book of the Revelation. This is future events. This is things not seen as yet. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You and I are looking back to the flood. But beloved, you and I are looking out there in the future in the book of Revelation to another judgment that's coming upon the earth. And the word of God said in verse 12, the fourth angel sounded. Third part of the sun was smitten. Verse 13, I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven saying, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of their voices, the trumpet, the three angels which are yet to sound. And the Bible said in chapter number 9, in verse number 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And upon them was given power, as the scorpions, the earth, have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days, men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I know it's quiet this morning, and it needs to be, because what God is telling us this morning, these are the things that are not seen as yet. But just as sure as you're hearing my voice, just as sure as you've got a Bible in your lap, just as sure as Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day, everything that God said in this book will come to pass, just as sure as we're here this morning. Just a little bit more. Let's go to chapter number 16. The Bible said, there was a grievous sore in verse 2, men which had the mark of the beast. In verse number 3, the sea became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So as you progress through the book of the Revelation, the judgment just gets worse and worse and worse. And you're going to read over and over and over. You like, look at verse number 9. They repented not. Verse number 11. They blasphemed the God of heaven. They repented not of their deeds. And the word of God said in verse 21, men blaspheme God. And so the judgment is getting more and more and more intense in the book of the Revelation. And yet men still will not turn from the error of their ways. And still, beloved, God is telling us these are things that are not seen as yet. The Bible said in verse number 8, he poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The Bible talks about in verse number 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. I know this is not popular preaching, but I'm telling you, God's trying to say to somebody this morning, you better pay attention. Faith is important, because it was faith that delivered Noah from the things not seen as yet. And it's faith that will deliver you and I from this great tribulation that's coming upon the earth. These things that I'm reading about that are not seen as yet. But they will be. The Bible said here, they blasphemed in verse 11, the God of heaven, because of their pains, their sores, and they repented not. Verse 12, the Euphrates dried up. Drop down with me to verse number 18. The Bible said there was a great earthquake. It was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The Bible said the cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. That's all for the book of Revelation. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, it's my job as a man of God to tell you there's some things coming that would make the flood look like a picnic. Are you listening to me? Noah being warned of God. The Bible said it's by faith that he prepared to meet God. The Bible said in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. I am because I will do this unto thee. He said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I tell you this morning, if you don't hear anything else I say, you better hear this. Prepare to meet thy God. You're going to meet him. Beloved, listen. Listen to this statement. It's not just a play on words. Heaven is a prepared place. Yes, it is. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. Glory to God. I'll get to that in a minute. Brother Chris, it's personal. One day he said, for you, Rick, I've got a place for you. Amen. Heaven is a prepared place, but don't you miss this, for a prepared people. Amen. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. The Bible said, go to the ant. Thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I read that verse and I thought this, even God's little creation, the ant, knows that winter's coming and it prepares for winter. I don't know how many times I've sat in the woods and watched them little ground squirrels or chipmunks, whatever you want to call them, or gray squirrels or fox squirrels. You know, they stay busy all day, but they're not eating all day. You know what they're doing? They're preparing for that winter that's coming. And they'll take them nuts, Brother David, and they'll hide them. You can watch them dig them a hole, amen. They'll go get them another one, come back. You know why? They know them nuts ain't going to be there all winter. Amen. So they're preparing for winter. Are you listening to me this morning? A little old ant, beloved's got more sense than a lot of people in this world, because they know that judgment's coming, and yet they will not prepare to meet the Lord God Almighty. The message this morning is simple. Let me give you this. Number one, the preparation is personal. Beloved, the Bible said, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet. It was God that warned Noah. And beloved, it was one God and one man. And that one man responded to the warning that God gave him. It was personal. Let me tell you something. Brother John, I believe, I heard you teach in Sunday school one time that I heard, but then you said, one day I heard. Amen. You know what happened, Brother John? That day it got personal. Amen. Listen, it's one thing to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But it's another thing for it to come home and say, for God so loved Chris that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved Jeremy that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved Jackson that he gave his only. I'm telling you, that day, beloved, when it comes in your life, it's a happy day when you realize he loves me. He did that for me. It's a happy day when it's personal. Number two, preparation is practical. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? It just makes sense. It just makes sense. Does it not make sense if you know? Listen, those people, I'm not throwing off on those people. They didn't know it was coming. We've never seen anything like this in this part of the country. Amen. But I promise you, Brother Dale, there's people who lives in North Carolina and Virginia and East Tennessee. They've got something called common sense. Amen. And if they knew that river was going to fill up and run over and wash the town away, you know what they'd have done? They'd have got out of town. Amen. Many people lost their life because it came so suddenly. Boy, that's a word right there. That's how it's coming. Suddenly. God has sent the pastor this morning to say, prepare to meet thy God. It's practical. It's personal. It worked. It didn't only work for Noah, but it worked for his family. Amen. It's a practical thing. I'm going to give you this morning. I'm going to give you something to think about. If you study your Bible, the ark that Noah floated through the judgment, he made it all the way through the judgment. The ark is a type of Christ. Do you know how that Noah, he escaped the judgment? He escaped it because God told him to build an ark. Now listen to me. You know how I'm going to escape the judgment that I read about a while ago? Because God gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ took my judgment in his body on that tree. The Word of God said he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I love that old song that said, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. It's because his righteousness has been imputed to me. I'm not going to heaven because of my goodness. I'm going to heaven because the good Lord gave his life on an old rugged tree. The ark, beloved, let me give you a couple things real quick. It was desired by God. You say, Pastor, why did God desire the ark? Because it wasn't his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Say amen. The Bible said, who will have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so it was desired by God. Calvary was desired by God. You say, how do you know that? Read your Bible. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Before you and I ever got here, beloved, God desired that you and I would trust Jesus and you and I would be saved by the grace of God. The preparation is practical. The ark is desired by God. It's designed by God, but it was demanded by God. In other words, beloved, you say, well, Pastor, what if Noah just built a canoe? He would have perished. Faith causes a man to obey God. And God said, listen, God said, I'm going to tell you how high to build it. I'm going to tell you how wide to build it. I'm going to tell you how long to build it. And beloved, when God got through with the instructions, guess what? It floated. Say amen. Modern shipbuilders are still building ships today to the same proportions that Noah. God knew what would float a long time before a man knew what would float. Say amen. And beloved, it's a beautiful picture by faith. Faith, beloved, it's the evidence of things not seen. And it's by faith that we prepare to meet God. It was demanded by God. Noah could either build it or perish. One or the other. There's no in between. There's no gray area. And beloved, he could either build it like God said or perish. There's a lot of people trying to build today, but not like God said. I want you to know, beloved, it worked because it was designed by God. It was demanded by God. You say, what's that got to do with us? The Bible said the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God demands repentance. If we're going to, beloved, escape the judgment that's coming that I read about in the book of Revelation, we're going to have to come to a place in our life where we agree with God. God, you're right, and I'm wrong. You're the Savior. I'm the sinner, and the sinner needs to be saved. Amen. And when that happens, beloved, business is going to pick up. Then the preparation not only is personal and practical, but preparation is powerful. I'm reminded of a story. This happened at a gathering of the Salvation Army. There was a man up in front of the crowd testifying of the grace of God in his life. And there was a man in the back of the crowd that started heckling Brother Chris. Shut up, old man. Shut up. You're dreaming. You're dreaming, old man. He felt somebody pull on his coattail. Yeah. That little boy looked up at that fella and he said, Mister, he said, that's my daddy up there. He said, my daddy used to come home and beat my mama. My daddy drank all the time. My daddy didn't provide for the family. He said, Mister, he said, Jesus saved my daddy. He's a different daddy now. And he's good to my mama. And he works a job. And he brings something to eat home. He said, Mister, he said, if my daddy's dreaming, please don't wake him up. I'm telling you, beloved, this faith and repentance will work in the life of anybody that will turn from their sin and turn to Jesus. I want you to listen to this. I've just about done. I read this last week. I'll see if I get the names right. It's Mr. Brown is the one that wrote this in his book, Inventors at Work. Nate Wyeth, he was an engineer and an inventor. And he says this about his brother, Andrew Wyeth. He said, Andy did a picture of Lafayette's quarters near Chad's Ford, Pennsylvania, with a sycamore tree behind the building. When I first saw the painting, he wasn't finished with it. He showed me a lot of drawings of the trunk and of the sycamore's gnarly roots. And I said, where's all that in the picture? He said, it's not in the picture, Nat. He said, for me to get what I want in the part of the tree that's showing, I've got to know thoroughly how it is anchored in the back of the house. I find that remarkable. He could draw the tree above the house with such authenticity because he knew exactly how the thing was rooted in the ground. Oh, glory to God. The Bible talks about this in over there, beloved, in Malachi. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. But he knoweth the way that I take, Job said. And when he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. You say, how come the prophet could call God's people jewels? I'll tell you why. That's what you see up above the building. Say amen. But what God sees is them gnarly roots. We're rooted and we're grounded in Him. Amen. God knows this morning, beloved, in your heart whether you know Him or whether you don't know Him. He could draw the tree above the house because He knew how the tree was rooted behind the house. The Bible said that bride's going to march out one day. The Bible says, as a bride adorned for her husband. And I tell you the reason, beloved, it's going to be beautiful what you see. It's because the roots were right. Amen. We're rooted and grounded in Him. Faith, the evidence of things not seen. One day God's people will be on full display. Just remember, the bride will be beautiful. Only because the artist knows that you and I are anchored in Jesus. Amen. This morning, there was a lot more that I wanted to say, but I think I've said exactly what God wanted me to say. I really do. I'm comfortable with that. Prepare. Noah being warned of God, things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He moved with fear. You know, my dad was a great man. I was blessed to have two wonderful fathers, a wonderful earthly father and a wonderful heavenly father. That's a blessing if you can say that today. But I tell you, I did fear my dad. I didn't back up in the corner and tremble. But I respected my dad in such a way, if dad said something, I knew he meant it. He didn't say a lot, but what he said carried a lot of weight. Amen. And I respected my dad. There were some things I didn't understand as a child. I've watched, Brother Randall, I've watched my dad as a young person, especially getting into early teen years. I've watched him take things from men that I just didn't think he ought to take. I thought Daddy ought to just go ahead and give him the right hand of fellowship, right across the mouth, amen, where he needed it. And as I've grown older, you know what I find myself doing? The same thing Daddy did. Amen. A soft answer turneth away wrath. I'm glad that when Daddy left me, he was prepared. He knew that day come. He knew it would come. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. When Mama left me, she was prepared. I'd hate to stand at the funeral of a loved one and not know they were prepared. You know, I believe with all of my heart, beloved, Noah was warned of God. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark. This is simple. Get a hold of this morning. Why did he do that? Because God told him to. That's what faith is. Yeah. Mary said at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Yeah. He did it because God told him to. Yeah. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. A man that's not concerned about his house is not worth his salt. Say amen. Papaws that ain't concerned about their grandchildren, praying for their grandchildren, there's a problem somewhere. Say amen. And I believe with all of my heart that the love of God will make you concerned about everybody that's facing this judgment that's to come one day after a while. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the privilege to be in this place today. God, it's my prayer this morning that as you work in hearts and work in lives, that folk would come, Lord, and pray over those that don't know Jesus. Lord, that we would ask you, Lord, to make us a better witness, a brighter light in this world. Lord, it's not always popular to be a light. I really believe Noah was ridiculed. His boys were ridiculed as they worked on that boat. But Lord, when the rain started coming down, they were no longer making fun of them. I believe, Lord, there was a crowd that wished they would have listened to that old preacher. Lord, you shut the door and it was too late. God, one day you're going to shut the door on this generation and it's going to be too late. Help us, Lord, while it's day, to come to Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please.